Welcome back to the second part of the Townships at 12 for today. In this half hour, I will be speaking with author of young adult books, Jordan Taylor. Jordan will be coming to the Black Cat Bookstore in Lennoxville on April 28th for a Canadian Children's Book Week, and she will be signing her books from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. So let's start the second half of today's show with Alyssa featuring Trove Lo, and the song is called Heroes We Can Be. And we will hear the interview with Jordan Taylor right after the song, so please stay tuned.
We go hide away in daylight. We go undercover, wait out the sun. Got a secret side in plain sight. Where the streets are empty, that's where we run.
Teasdale for the Cube, and today I'm happy to welcome Jordan Taylor to the Townships at 12. Now, Jordan is an author of young adult books. She was formerly a magazine editor, so welcome, Jordan.
Thank you so much for having me.
For listeners who might not be familiar with your work yet, how would you describe the stories you write?
So I write young adult novels. They are aimed at readers who are in that 13 to 18 year old age range, but I do hear from a lot of readers who are adults too. And what readers really enjoy about my stories is that they're really gripping from beginning to end. And because they're aimed at teen readers, they tend to end on an empowering note that can really help readers get a sense of what kind of person they want to be in the world and how they can make a positive difference in their communities.
Okay, that's fascinating. You have me interested already in reading some of your books. You're originally from Canada, but now you're based in New York. How has that move influenced your writing, if at all?
Well, I moved to New York to pursue a career in journalism, which is what I did right when I graduated college. And, you know, my work in journalism informed my career as a novelist in so many ways. On a really practical level, it trained me to be great at writing on deadline and to be able to, you know, work with editors. But my work in journalism also inspired my latest novel called Wicked Darlings, which is about a teenage aspiring journalist who infiltrates Manhattan high society to investigate her sister's death. And it was very much inspired by the work that I did in my first journalism job in Manhattan. I myself was a society reporter at like 21, 22 years old. And I put those experiences into this latest thriller that I wrote.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now,
it was very interesting.
Okay. How many books have you written in all, Jordan?
So I've written 5 young adult novels. 4 of them are currently out, and the next one comes out in July. It's called The Rebel Girls of Rome. Of those 5, 3 of them are historical fiction, and 2 of them are thrillers. The historical fiction novels, 2 of them take place during World War II. They're called The Paper Girl of Paris and The Rebel Girls of Rome. The other historical is called Don't Breathe a Word, and it takes place in like 1960s Cold War era. And then the 2 thrillers take place in our present day. One of them is Wicked Darlings that I just talked about. The other is called The Revenge Game, and it's about a boarding school in upstate New York where a popular lacrosse player goes missing on prom night.
Okay. What draws you to young adult fiction specifically?
I think it's that I remember the books that I read when I was a teenager and how they really helped me shape what kind of person I wanted to be in the world. And the opportunity to potentially write a book that helps another teenager in that way is really, really amazing to me. I also hear from a lot of readers who read one of my books and say that they weren't into reading before until they found my story. And so to know that I could be introducing a young reader to reading in general is so incredible, because I think about the transformative power of literature in the world, and to know that I could be, you know, bringing somebody into that power it's very rewarding.
Yes, I can see that it would be. Do you remember the moment or experience that first inspired you to become a writer?
I know factually that in my grade 7 yearbook, I was 11 years old in grade 7, and in my grade 7 yearbook, we had to all write what our life goal was. And I wrote that my life goal was to write a full book. So I have official documentation that at least 11 years old, I wanted to be a writer. But when I think about earlier than that, the moment that I really started thinking about it, I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I was at summer camp, and I didn't fit in super well with the other kids. I really loved reading, and I really loved theater, and those things are really cool to me now, but they didn't feel particularly cool at the time. And I remember I would spend a lot of time walking alone, like through the woods. This sounds really sad when I describe it now, but I remember I spent a lot of time walking alone by myself, and I would tell myself stories when I was struggling to fit in with the other kids. And I remember those stories feeling like such a powerful escape for me at the time. And I really loved, it was something that I really loved to do. And so if I really think about it, I think that it was probably around 7 or 8 that I realized that I loved telling stories, and that I could write stories that could help other people too.
That is really fascinating. Now, how do you come up with your story ideas? Are you more of a planner, or do you write as the inspiration strikes you?
I am such a planner. I really, really admire writers who can just fly by the seat of their pants and see, you know, how the story just flows naturally. But I am incredibly structured. I sometimes joke that even though I work in a creative field, I have like a robot brain. So I plot out an entire story from beginning to end before I start writing. And that way I avoid writing myself into a corner. And it also helps me make sure that I can finish getting a draft in by, you know, my 3 or 4 month deadline. So as for how I get my ideas, I also use a bit of a math equation, actually. I usually start by thinking about what theme I generally want to explore. So that theme could be something like the importance of resisting peer pressure or the importance of speaking up for what's right, even when it's hard to do. And then I think about a particular setting that really fascinates me. So I, when I'm explaining how I come up with stories, I like to talk about my second novel, Don't Breathe a Word. That one, the theme that I wanted to explore was the importance of resisting peer pressure. And I've always been really fascinated by, this is so random, but nuclear fallout shelters in the 1960s. And I was really fascinated by the idea of a nuclear fallout shelter on a college or on a high school campus. And a real story from the 1960s when students were sent into their school's nuclear fallout shelter to test it out for a long weekend. So I think about how can I combine this theme I want to explore with a setting or a topic that really fascinates me, like 1960s nuclear fallout shelters, and what is the story that results from that? How can I write a story then about students who are sent into a nuclear fallout shelter and somehow whatever they go through down there teaches them and the reader a message about the importance of resisting peer pressure.
Okay, you sound really well structured. Okay, it sounds like your stories have intriguing plots. What comes first for you, the character or the story?
For me, it's the story. Once I figure out what that core theme and the fascinating setting is, at that point, it sort of becomes clear to me what is the main character then that I need to write in order to successfully convey that theme. So in the case of Don't Breathe a Word, the book that I was just talking about, I knew because of the setup that I had created that I needed a character who, it actually jumps back and forth in time between the present and the past, so I really needed two main characters at the same boarding school decades apart who initially are pulled into the forces of peer pressure only to realize that there is something very corrupt about the organizations that they're being pulled into, and then they discover how to resist those oppressive forces. And I knew that those were the characters I needed to create because I had already established what my core theme and my setting were going to be. I know there are a lot of other authors out there who have characters materialize in their heads fully formed, and I wish that were me, but instead my characters actually kind of come a few steps into the process.
Okay. Now, before becoming a full-time author, you were a magazine editor, and you said that experience gave you a lot of discipline and things like that. Anything else that you took from that experience to apply to your writing?
You know, one thing that I really loved about my latest job, I was executive digital editor at Mentor. Something that I was really proud of that I did there was expanding the way that we covered gender and sexuality. And I got to advocate for underrepresented groups in a way that made me feel really proud and made a lot of readers feel seen in the media for the first time. And so I really want to take that into the fiction that I'm writing now. I especially am excited about telling queer stories. Wicked Darlings, my book that just came out, has a bisexual main character. And my book that comes out in July, The Rebel Girls of Rome, is about queer Jewish teens who joined the Italian resistance in World War II. So I think it's really, you know, when we talk about the transformative power of literature, I think that seeing yourself represented in media, whether it's in magazines or in fiction, can be really powerful. It can be empowering. It can be affirming. And to be able to get to do that feels really good.
Mm-hmm. Now you'll be visiting Black Cat Books. That's our local independent bookstore in Lenoxville. That comes up on April 28th, and it's part of the Children's Book Week. What are you looking forward to about the event, Jordan?
I am so excited to be having this event. I absolutely love meeting readers. You know, my first two books came out during the very early stages of the pandemic. So I actually didn't get to have any kind of in-person book celebration until my third book. So the magic of getting to meet readers in person still has not worn off on me. And I also really enjoy events like the one happening at Black Cat Books because I can talk to readers, some of whom are, you know, really interested in becoming authors themselves. And so they can end up becoming great opportunities to talk to teenagers and adults about my journey to becoming an author, and you know, if it can help inspire somebody else, that's really cool. So yeah, it's a mix of still being really excited to spend time in person with readers, and also maybe to help somebody in their journey to become a writer.
Mm-hmm. You never know who you might inspire. That's great. Are you doing any readings, or are you just signing the books at the event?
I'll just be signing books and talking to readers. I have a few other events throughout the week for Canadian Children's Book Week where I might be doing some readings, but at this particular event, it'll just be signing and chatting with people.
Okay. Now, for readers who are new to your work, is there a particular book you'd recommend that they start with?
So I would say that if historical fiction is your thing, start with The Paper Girl of Paris. It jumps back and forth in time between a girl in the present day who inherits a secret Asian apartment that's been locked since World War II. And then it goes back to her long-lost great-aunt who's living in Nazi-occupied Paris and joins the French Resistance. I would recommend that one, especially because it's standalone companion novel, The Rebel Girls of Rome, comes out in July. So if you read The Paper Girl of Paris, you'll have the next one to read in the little series coming out really soon. But if thrillers and mysteries are more your thing, I have to shout out Wicked Darlings. My book came out in February. It is a USA Today bestseller. I'm really proud of it. And so sort of Gossip Girl with murder vibe. And I think that could be your thing.
Okay, congratulations on that. What were some of your favorite books growing up?
Oh my gosh, I think my first like young adult books that I really loved were the Angus Thongs and Frontal Snogging books. Do you remember those? They were really popular, I want to say, in the early 2000s. And then I loved the Princess Diaries books by Meg Cabot.
Do you have any quirky writing rituals, like time of day that you write? I know that Danielle Steele prefers to write on an old-fashioned typewriter. Do you have anything interesting like that?
I love waking up first thing in the morning and writing as the sun rises. It's my favorite time of day to write because it's really peaceful. It's just me and my laptop. And, you know, I'm not getting any emails or text messages. I find that I'm just so productive at that time of day. I'm definitely a morning person. I'm not a night owl. I'm never going to be the person who's, you know, staying up until 3 in the morning writing. I'm very, very much a write with the sunrise kind of author.
Okay. Now, if you could co-write a book with any author, living or not, who would that be?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I was just asked this question recently, and I was saying I would love to write a book with my fellow young adult author, Lisa Springer, who writes amazing horror novels. Her debut is called There's No Way I Die First, and it's about a killer clown who shows up to a Halloween party. Lisa is amazing, and so I think it would be really fun to collaborate on like a contemporary horror thriller book. And then another one of my favorite young adult authors is Jessica Goodman. She's written a bunch of books. One of them is They'll Never Catch Us, and The Counselors is another one. Her writing is so beautiful that it hurts to read sometimes. She's incredible. So I think those would be my two dream young adult collabs.
Now, what's next for you? I know you're working on a book that's coming out. Any other projects?
Yeah, I actually am going to be writing my first two adult novels. They're both romance novels. The first of the two comes out in January. It's called See You at the Summit, and it's about a woman who makes a really big deal out of coming out as bisexual and then reluctantly falls for a straight man and has to grapple with the questions that raises about her own queer identity. I'm extra excited about it because it takes place in Canada. It takes place partly in Whistler and partly in Toronto, which is where I'm from. And it's my first book that will take place in Canada. So that is so exciting.
Okay, well, good luck on that. How can listeners follow you? How can listeners follow your work or connect with you online?
They can find me on Instagram at Jordan H. Taylor. That's spelled JordanHTaylor. And that's also my website, www.jordanhtaylor.com. And if they want to be the first to get all the updates about my books, there's a link on my website and in my Instagram bio to sign up for my newsletter.
Okay, that's good. Definitely going to follow you. Anything else that we left out that you'd like to add, Jordan, before we go?
I'm just really excited for Book Week. I'm so excited to come to Lenoxville and meet readers there. So really, really looking forward to it. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you today.
Well, thanks very much, Jordan Taylor. She's an author of young adult books, and she's coming to the Black Cat Books in Lennoxville on April 28th as part of the Canadian Children's Book Week, and she will be signing books from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thanks very much, Jordan, and all the best on all your projects.
Thanks so much, Maureen.
Listening to the Townships at 12, and that was Taylor Swift, and the song is called Style. And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Did you know that reading can do more than improve vocabulary and school grades? For young adults, diving into a good book can be a powerful mental health boost. Studies show that regular reading helps reduce stress, improve focus, and even build empathy. When teens read fiction, especially stories with complex characters and emotional journeys, they're actually strengthening the parts of the brain involved in understanding others, which can improve social skills and emotional intelligence. Reading also gives young people a healthy escape. It can offer comfort during tough times, help them process emotions, and provide a safe place to explore identity and challenges they might be facing in real life. Plus, turning pages instead of scrolling screens can improve sleep and lower anxiety levels, especially important during those high-pressure teenage years. So whether it's a fantasy adventure, a heartfelt romance, or a gripping mystery, encouraging young adults to read for pleasure isn't just good for their minds, it's good for their hearts too. And that is our health news today here on the Townships at 12. I'd like to thank my guests on the show today in the first half hour, David Savard and Veronique Robideau, owners and managers of Wood Snack Bar in Arriscliffe, and it is now open for the spring and summer season. And in the second half hour, author Jordan Taylor coming to Black Cat Books in Lenoxville on April 28th, and she will be signing books from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will close today's show with Levitating, and it's by Dua Lipa.
And I could take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life. Glitter in the sky, glitter in my eyes, shining just the way you like. If you're feeling like you need a little bit of company, you met me at the perfect time. You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Levitating, you can fly away.